Welcome back. Hour three of the huddle, ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Richmond, Weber, and Lonzo. Tuesday afternoon. We have basketball for you tonight. It's Houston and Golden State, 8 p.m. airtime. Golden State lead the series 2-1 in that one. Of course, the Cavs have tied it up with Boston in that series. So we've got some competitive basketball going on, certainly, in the East. We'll get back to your calls and text in a bit, 844-477-3776, text line 71307. But now it's time for three questions at three. All right, we have some basketball, we have some baseball, we even have a hockey-related question in three questions at three today. Lonzo, question number one, please.
All right, is Houston coach Mike D'Antoni right? Is the pressure really on the Golden State Warriors?
Thank you for saying his name right, by the way. So many people say Mike D'Antoni. I've heard that over and over again. No.
D'Antoni.
D'Antoni. It's Mike D'Antoni.
D'Antoni.
And I'll let you hear, before you answer this question, I'll let you hear exactly how he put it. This is Mike D'Antoni about where the pressure lies in the Western Conference Finals.
We've been through a lot of this year, and they've been great. The world will go on. And, you know, right now, to me, Golden State has all the pressure. They're still, they got to win tomorrow night. You know, we should come in with a little bit of a swagger and giddy up in our game and see if we can get it.
They should come in with swagger. Houston should have swagger tonight in game four. What do you think, Richmond?
Don't you think they would have tried to come in with swagger in game three as well?
Yeah, you could have swagged in game three, but yeah. They didn't swag in three, so they need to swag in four.
I have no idea what tactic he's trying to pull here, that all the pressure is on the Warriors. Makes no sense. Is this some type of reverse psychology or something that he's trying to implement for his team? Maybe it works. I don't see it. But we know Houston was built to try to dethrone the Warriors. Lonzo had made mention of this earlier in the show. And unfortunately, Houston has not been able to beat the Warriors in this era in the playoffs. And I don't think it's going to happen now. So of anything, all the pressure is on Houston. They won the regular season. They had home court advantage. They couldn't take advantage of that. And now their backs are against the wall. It's obviously all the pressure is on Houston Rockets.
Lonzo, you agree?
I do. I understand kind of what D'Antoni's doing. I mean, earlier in the week, he talked about how soft this team was. He did it on several different occasions. So now this, I think, is his way of trying to back off of that. And it's not working. All the pressure definitely is on Houston. Golden State has, I mean, coming off of a victory like they just had, the only problem there is maybe they get complacent and think they're going to cruise again, which they might very well do tonight.
Yep, tonight is game four. I don't know either. D'Antoni's marching to a beat of a different drummer here. Obviously, the pressure is on Houston right now. They have the look of a team that was built for the regular season, and it's not playoff tough. And if they don't win tonight, it is series over. So, Mike, I'm sorry, but no, the pressure is not on the Warriors. Lonzo, question two.
All right, question number two. Should USC and Clemson go all out in the SEC and ACC baseball tournaments, or should they carefully set up their pitching for the regionals? I think you could split this a little bit. I think USC, they're not going to go up by winning this. I mean, they'll look better. But Clemson needs to win the ACC because you talked about earlier projections is they're not going to get a national seed, and they probably want that. I know in basketball it seems like they don't care about their prospective tournaments, but baseball seems a little more important in this area, and I think Clemson has a lot of pride. I think they're going to try – the coaches are going to try to win. Here's how we know if the coaches are not going to try to win is if they put out pitchers who haven't pitched all year or have only pitched a couple games. This could be a good time to get your young guys some playing time. I don't know. Like I said, it's a mixed bag. I know it's not really a definitive answer, but that's what I'm going with.
No, I get the point that Clemson is right on the bubble of a national seed. And what a national seed means, in case you don't really follow it that closely. If you're seed 1 through 8 and you win your regional, then you get a home series for the super regionals. That's why it's important. So if Clemson is 9, and that's where D1 baseball has them projected today, or as of yesterday, 9 and not 8, they lost that spot to Texas A&M in that projection, which is all it is, so it doesn't matter, then there's a big difference there. So I think carefully you play to win, but don't burn your pitching up. Do not burn your pitching up, because the ACC and SEC tournaments are not the be-all, end-all. And it's important, I think, to both of these schools to make some noise in the regionals. They're both safely in. South Carolina projected as a 2 seed. Clemson as a 1 seed, if not a national seed. So they'll be careful with their pitchers. I think if you're going to use your starters, and you'll have to do that some if you go deep. South Carolina loses tonight, then it won't matter. they won't go deep, and they can save their pitching, which Correct. Might not be all that bad for them because they really have nothing to gain. They're not going to host. They're going to travel.
Okay, so just don't even play the game then.
Play the game.
No, don't even play it.
Play to win. Don't burn any pitching. No. They're starting Carmen Mladzinski tonight. Can you spell his name?
I cannot.
Thank you. I mean, and that's what they have to do. He has a 2-2 record,
Yeah, and that's
record,
not based on that they're going into it not trying to win the game. It's just based
on...
They
don't have any choice. Yeah. He's their Tuesday, Wednesday starter, and they have to do that. Because it's Tuesday, and they're playing on Tuesday because they're not a top four seed.
And so, do you have? We need the Herm Edwards clip.
You play to win the game.
You play to win the game.
Sort of.
And see, where's this sort of?
Because if you continue to win, if you're South Carolina or Clemson, and you continue to win and go deep, and you're headed toward the weekend, you want to be careful about using your best pitchers on the weekend.
Okay. Well, this is obviously very unique, baseball wise, but. If you're a competitor, if you're an athlete, you're out there to try to win the game and win a championship, regardless of what type of championship it is. And I'm sorry, you got to go out there and try to win. When you start getting caught up with the mindset of, oh, I got to worry about this, I got to worry about that, we can't have that pitcher go, or, oh, I got to save this, that's when you get yourself into trouble and you get yourself out of any type of rhythm or flow as a team. Just keep going out there and try to win the game. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's what you want to do.
Throw every pitcher out there, every one of them, no matter when it is, no matter what's the situation going forward.
Set up your same type of game plan that you've done all season long.
But they don't do that.
And go. I know it doesn't seem that they do that in baseball.
They'll be more careful as you get toward the weekend. I mean, you can use these guys during the week.
Yeah, but I understand if you're limiting them to a certain pitch count or whatever, but don't get so caught up that you can't use a guy at all just because, oh, we got to save him. Because you know what tends to happen when that happens? You don't even get there to use that guy somewhere else down the road.
Well, they're going to get there. They're in.
Yeah, but they might be so cold, might not have a good start. That's just the way
it is. You don't want to tank. I got it.
Yes.
It's not the NBA.
I just don't buy into the fact that you play differently and you don't want to win a conference title.
Talk to me on Tuesday. Okay. Well, let's see what they do this weekend with their pitching. See how careful they are if they get that far into the weekend.
Yeah, so why wouldn't they just go ahead and say, you know what, never mind. Let's just don't even play.
Because I agree with you. You don't want to become complacent and tank. You don't. You just want to be careful. They'll be careful. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
They'll be careful. Yeah. Please be careful.
I say you go for it.
Pitch carefully. All right. We agree on that. Lonzo, we're going to need question 3. I don't know what you've got over there, but we need you.
He's got an important phone call. All right.
He's
multitasking back there.
I want to point something out. And, you know, you try not to be mean to callers or anything, and we appreciate every call we get, but don't call in and ask me a question to ask on the air. Call in and go on the air yourself. I mean, that's what the call-in lines are for, and that's what my job is, to make sure you get on the air. And, you know, I'm just pointing that out. All right, and maybe I sound a little angry because I don't like the wording of the next question. I thought I'd be nonchalant about it, you know, because I thought I'd be the opposite of what the person who wrote the question you know, thought I would be, but uh-huh. I'm not going to do that.
You're not.
I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Here is the question again, not my question. What will you watch more of tomorrow night? The Cleveland Cavaliers at the Boston Celtics, game number 5 in the NBA playoffs, or Washington at Tampa Bay, game number 7 in the NHL? Really?
Head to head, baby.
Really?
Head to head. You got to watch that NHL game. That's a game 7.
Do or die situation.
I mean, right? How exciting is that? Did you see the crowd? That game the other night? Washington, Tampa Bay, game 7? Winner goes to play the Sharks? No, the Golden Knights.
No, the Golden Knights.
The Sharks are gone. Golden Knights. See, it's important. I even know who's playing. You play the Las Vegas Golden Knights if you win. This is for everything. They don't get bigger in hockey than this game 7 tomorrow night. I got to watch the hockey game.
Are you buying that? I'm not. He might not even watch the basketball game either.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
Hockey. No, I was talking about him. I mean, it's your turn. Is that your answer?
Richmond, what are you going to watch?
No, I'm going to watch more of the basketball.
Come on, man. No.
I love the fact of a game 7, do or die, but I'm a basketball guy. I will flip over to watch some of the game, but I'm not going to watch all of it. Again, I do love the fact that one game and somebody's going home.
Yeah. Any bigger than that.
No, you can get bigger than that. Now, if this was game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, okay.
Yeah, right.
That gets my attention, but still not to the same degree as
Don't
NBA
you
want to
know if we're going to have a Stanley Cup Finals that features those cold weather cities, Las Vegas and Tampa? Don't you want to know that? Will that be the death of hockey if Las Vegas plays Tampa for the Stanley Cup?
No, it will not. It will be a great story. Listen, I've been told by our hockey expert, Patrick Brown, and I've heard from some other people that there's nothing more exciting than a game 7 in hockey, whether it's, you know, for the final or to get to the final. It's one of the most exciting events in all of sports.
Absolutely.
So I cannot blame you if you would rather watch that than watch Cleveland at Boston, because it's just game number 5
That's right. The series.
It's not going to decide anything, even though earlier we talked about it, how important it is for the Cavs. But there's history on the line in the hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
A chance for Washington to go to the finals for the first time ever, if I recall, from our expert Patrick Brown, who I kind of paid attention to when he was in here. So I'm pretty sure that's what he said. So we already know part of history is there. The Golden Knights are there waiting. Wouldn't you like to see, you know, two teams that have never won the cup playing for the whole thing? So I'm not going to watch it, but if you watch it, I understand.
Come on, man. The Caps haven't been in the Stanley Cup for 20 years.
I got to tell you, I'm not even going to turn over and watch a little bit. I don't believe Richmond when he said, oh, I'm going to flip. I don't believe
that. No,
I don't. Now he's going to. Now he's going to.
No, in all seriousness, no, I would.
Yes, so at halftime, you're going to watch these stupid analysts on TV in the NBA game? Or are you going to
What I normally do is I record the game. I don't watch the first half hour of the game. I stay off of social media, and then I can skip past all the commercials and the majority of halftime. So then I'm watching nothing but game. So that's how I usually do these games.
And don't look at your phone. I'll be texting you.
I don't.
That's right.
I won't.
I'm going to as well.
If I see something from you guys,
I'm
going to
blow it up now.
I'll just turn it off. I can do that.
You'll look down and see our names, and you'll be looking down and saying, Cavs are losing.
I'm just going to put the score each time.
I even go so far as I did this last night. I had my son go ahead and because we watched something else. I had him set up the game and get it ready at the beginning so I couldn't accidentally see what the score was.
Do you trust yourself to tape it like that?
Yeah, because I know that, see, there was a season finale for something else that I was watching last night. So I wanted to watch that first. And I can stay off my phone. I'm not addicted to my phone like a lot of other people are. I don't have to get on there every few seconds to see, you know, what's trending or something. I'm mm-hmm. good.
So the question is, what was the season finale that he was watching?
Mm-hmm. It was Supergirl. I don't care. You know, and tonight, I won't watch the beginning of that game because Flash's season finale is tonight. I embrace my nerddom. I'm not going to. I don't have a problem with it.
I see the T-shirt. You got the Flash on.
Tag on
today.
Right, yeah.
So it's a big day. My daughter is actually into Flash.
It's a great show.
So she watches it.
Will you wear the Cav shirt tomorrow? Because that'd be bad luck not to wear the Cav shirt tomorrow.
I haven't worn it the entire time. Why would I start wearing it now?
All right. You don't believe in LeBron. That's okay.
He doesn't.
Me.
I don't believe in superstition. That's what I don't believe in. Okay.
But he wears the Flash shirt on the season finale.
That's just coincidence. It just happened to be the first shirt that I grabbed.
Yes. Just grabbed it by accident.
Yes.
844-477-3776. Text line is 71307. We'll take a break and come back with more in a moment. You're listening to The Huddle for Tuesday afternoon on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. It is The Huddle. It's ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. 844-477-3776 if you want to join the conversation today. Text line 71307. Use the keyword ESPN. And Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. 8 o'clock airtime tonight. 9 o'clock tip for Houston Golden State. Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals with Golden State up 2-1. ESPN is out with their third annual list of the most famous athletes in the world. I've scrolled down so you can't see the top. Who do you think is the number one athlete in the world? Fame-wise. Who's the most famous athlete in the world right now?
Probably a stinking soccer player.
Richmond.
Most famous athlete.
Ronaldo or someone like that.
In the world.
Or David, David Beckham or somebody.
Yeah, Beckham's out of the limelight.
Yeah, he's done.
Top five's got to be LeBron's up there.
Yeah.
Number one. I'm drawing to...
Throw a name out there, man. Come on.
No, I'm thinking about this. I've got my analytics that I go through. You can't rush the voice of reason here.
Yeah, those lapses cause alarms to go off. So, I mean, you know.
In the world, and this is just based on fame. This is not based on endorsements, or you don't know.
I don't know how they determine it, but it's the World Fame 100, 1 through 100. Who's one?
Okay, yeah, it's got to be a soccer player then.
It is, and it is Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo from Portugal. Has $40 million in endorsements, has 121.7 million social media followers. 121.7 million on social media.
Do you follow him on Twitter?
No, I do not.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. So it's not close, really. LeBron is number two. And LeBron has more in endorsement money, $55 million to $40 million. But LeBron only has 40.8 million social media followers. So about a third of what Ronaldo has.
I follow him on social media.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. You don't follow him on social media?
I don't know. Maybe.
You don't know.
I don't know if I follow LeBron or not. Probably not. He cusses too much. He and Steph are having a cursing contest right now.
Steph will win that any day.
Yeah, Steph better be careful. He's going to get in trouble with Mama Curry.
Yeah, they're both. LeBron got mad because people are saying he's slow today. And he's cursing about that.
And Steph got mad because he lost his binky again. Yeah. And he's cursing about that.
So LeBron is 2, 3, and 4 are soccer players. So 1, 3, and 4 in the World Fame 100 are soccer players. Lionel Messi is 3. Neymar is 4.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, soccer is, from a worldwide perspective, the most popular sport.
What do we care about the rest of the world? Who's the most famous in the United States?
I'm a little surprised at this, but number five is Roger Federer.
Does he still play?
Roger Federer is more famous than Tiger Woods, they're telling me, with this list. You buy that? Tiger's 6th.
Based on that it's the world, yes. Mm-hmm. And Tiger, he dropped off for a while.
Yeah, but in this case, they play golf everywhere, so...
Yeah, but Tiger hasn't been. Federer's still been. When Tiger was down, Federer was winning titles.
You know, other than the Williams sisters, who follows tennis? At least there's some golfers that people have heard of before.
So Tiger's been down. You're saying he's not a blue blood anymore, obviously.
I think that's what he's saying, yeah.
Yeah, I think we know the answer to that.
I don't know. Tiger's pretty dang famous. He's sixth, though. Kevin Durant, seventh. So Tiger just above Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Kevin Durant up there at seven. Him in the top ten. I would have put Steph Curry ahead of Kevin Durant.
Steph is nine. Two behind Durant. Rafael Nadal is between them at number eight. And this one surprises me too. At number 10, in the top 10, Phil Mickelson. Yeah. I'm surprised Serena's not in the top 10.
I would agree. I was going to say that how can Serena not be in the top 10?
Number 11 is somebody I've never heard of. You guys want to tell me what Virat Kohli does?
Only reason I looked over your shoulder.
Yeah, you're looking at it.
Well, if he's not a soccer player.
He is not.
Hockey.
Cricket.
Oh, okay.
A cricket player from India. Virat Kohli at number 11. Serena at 12. Djokovic, the tennis player, at 13. Floyd Mayweather at 14. And Rory McIlroy at 15. I'm surprised by that, too. I wouldn't put Rory that high. But they do. A lot of golfers there. Jordan Spieth at 16. Sun Yang, Chinese swimmer, at 17. Conor McGregor is 18. And soccer player Gareth Bale is 19. I'm looking at, a lot of unfamiliar guys. Getting into soccer players that I don't even know. There. James Harden is 24. Kyrie Irving is 27.
That's high for him.
D-Wade is 31. Sean White, the snowboarder, is at 32. Russell Westbrook at 34. A lot of NBA guys. Derrick Rose at 36. And Tom Brady is at 38.
Derrick Rose ahead of Tom Brady?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess NBA is more of an international sport.
Yeah. Well, and you also have to look at, this just shows you that it's the games or the sports where you see their face all the time. Tom Brady at 38, there has to be an aspect of it because they have helmets on.
What is the ranking criteria, though? I mean, how are they? Is this someone's opinion? Are they looking at endorsements?
They list on here are search score. So basically, if you search on the internet, what kind of score do they get? How do they show up? How much do they show up? Endorsements and social media following, those three things.
So it's sometimes they weight it some way based on those three criteria.
Yeah. Cam Newton, 54. Not quite top 50.
So in the case of that cricket player, when people hear his name and they're looking up to say, who the heck is this guy?
That's right. That counts as a search score.
Okay.
It helps him. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers at 59. Aaron Rodgers behind Cam Newton? You okay with that?
You're asking me.
I'm not.
Yes, he's not.
I am not okay with that.
Who has more endorsements?
Cam.
Cam does.
11 million to 7.5 million.
And Cam lost some endorsements, if you remember. He probably would be higher on the list. He lost Chobani and a couple other ones over the female thing.
Rodgers have slightly bigger social media following, 4.4 million to 4.1, but that's pretty close.
Majority of which live in the Green Bay area.
Is that many people don't live within 100 miles of Green Bay. Yeah. I'm just looking further down the list. Justin Rose. Nobody knows Justin Rose, do they? He's 69th on the list, the golfer. J.J. Watt, 72. Sergio is 73. Russell Wilson at 81.
Is that a ping pong player there?
Where are we looking? Yeah, Ma Long. Table tennis from China, table 82.
Tennis.
Russell Wilson slightly ahead of a Chinese table tennis player.
Let me make sure I get it correct. Table tennis, not ping pong.
Not ping pong, it's table tennis.
Table tennis.
Yes. Yes. Isaiah Thomas at 92. Come on, man.
Wait a minute. Is there a difference between table tennis and ping pong?
I'm just trying to be
politically correct.
No, not politically correct.
Did they change the name to that? When did this happen?
Given its credit.
That's what
table tennis.
That's how they identify Ma. Yeah. Ma Long, table tennis player. Interesting list there, but soccer at the top, and then a lot of NBA. lot of NBA on here. And that a lot
just,
of golf.
Yeah, that just shows you NBA is definitely becoming an international sport as well. Yep. The NBA has done a really good job of promoting it internationally.
Yep. All right, break time. Back with more in a moment. 844-477-3776. If you want to join the conversation today in the Huddle Tuesday edition on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. South Carolina opens play in the SEC tournament tonight. Hoover, Alabama against Missouri. That's an 8:45 start. That's the scheduled start, but there are games before it, so it could get pushed back a little bit. Clemson Tigers will begin play in the ACC tournament tomorrow. They play Notre Dame. 2:30 airtime tomorrow, 3 o'clock first pitch here on ESPN Upstate. So we'll be on for an hour and a half tomorrow, 1 until 2:30 here in the Huddle. Braves did not win last night. What's the matter with those guys?
It's
shut
over.
Out. Yeah, this is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the streak that goes the other way. Isn't it?
As you mentioned off air, it's the collapse.
The Braves collapse now.
Yes.
3-0 loss to the Phillies. Phillies is a pretty good team, 27-18. And Braves only got 5 hits last night. Only gave up 8 hits, though, to the Phillies. So Fulton Ebbets, the pitcher for the Braves, didn't pitch poorly, but he still got the loss. He only gave up 1 earned run in 6 innings. That's a tough way to lose, isn't it? You don't like that.
That's rough.
Yeah. Anyway, the Braves playing the Phillies, a pretty good team right now. We'll see if they can turn it back around and get back on the winning track. 3-0 loss last night. Saw a report earlier about Deshaun Watson with the Texans, and he's working out. And, Lonzo, you read it to me, so I don't have it in front of me. But all reports are good on Deshaun. Looks good.
His knee feels comfortable.
Comfortable is the word.
Yes.
For Watson. But not so much for Jadeveon Clowney with the Texans, the former Gamecock. His knee rehab is keeping him out of the start of OTAs, according to the Houston Chronicle. Clowney underwent arthroscopic surgery after the season. That forced him to withdraw from the Pro Bowl. He sought a second medical opinion from Dr. James Andrews this offseason. Clowney's medical outlook is positive. J.J. Watt, defensive end, and Dante Foreman, running back, is out. They're injured, not practicing today. Jadeveon Clowney has had a couple of good years, 15.5 sacks and 3 forced fumbles the past 2 seasons. He's made Pro Bowl honors in back-to-back seasons. And, of course, coming up on new contract time, the Clowney agent and the Texans have expressed a mutual desire to sign a long-term deal. This year, on the 5th-year option, he's scheduled to make $12.31 million in base salary. So he's doing all right. You think they'll pay Clowney another big long-term deal? I mean, he's had Pro Bowl years. Injury-prone, though.
That's the problem, yeah. I'm not certain that they're going to be willing to put up the type of money that he might think he's valued at.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the knee injuries.
Well, if they don't, will somebody else?
Yeah, somebody will pay him. I don't know if it's going to be what he wants. I mean, he's got the Pro Bowl thing, but he hasn't been dominant. You pay him like an elite linebacker, pass rusher?
I don't think you do with the injury history.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with that. I'd be careful about it. We'll see what he gets.
They're paying everybody right now.
Everybody gets paid, yeah. I mean, relatively speaking. But I don't know if he's going to get what he's asking for here. We'll see. Right now, he's not working out. Rehabbing. Still rehabbing the knee as OTAs have started.
Why don't you figure out how much he would make for the 16 games plus and then whittle it down to the 7 games he'll actually play and then offer him the money
for
the 7 games?
He's been playing. You don't make the Pro Bowl playing 7 games.
No, he was great last year.
It was good.
Especially with J.J. Watt. With J.J. Watt going down, he suddenly became the focus of the defense.
He did have a good year.
Yeah. He's had a good couple of years. Clowney's okay. He's doing all right. Tom Brady remains away from OTAs for New England. We talked about that. Brian Hoyer is taking his repetitions right now. He's getting all the reps. And he says it's business as usual. He was asked if Brady's absence was a distraction. He said, I don't think so. really. Tom Brady's not there, and that's not a distraction. Not for Hoyer. He loves
how many,
it, right?
Yeah, how many times is he getting asked that question, though?
Yeah, that's the distraction.
You know he's getting – yeah, that's the distraction number that he's getting asked.
Number one question
about
for
Brady.
Hoyer is, where's Tom? That's the number one question he's
asked. They could care less how he's playing, how he feels that he's developing right now in the system. It's all about, where's Tom?
Yeah. Brian, got a follow-up question. When do you think Tom will be back?
Have you talked to Tom?
Yeah.
Has he given you any pointers?
He needs to come up with a sign that says no Tom questions.
I don't know about Tom. That's
well, anybody ask him questions if there are no Tom questions.
You know who else is on the field during OTAs for the Patriots at quarterback? Danny Etling, LSU. Their seventh round draft choice. They were the only two quarterbacks there. They had Nick Caserio playing the role of quarterback in some drills. You know who that is?
Do not.
He's their director of player personnel. That's how it looks at New England right now. They had to get somebody out there. He's done that in the past. Play quarterback in some drills.
Well, there you go. So this is not anything too different. This is their same setup each year at their OTAs.
Nick Caserio. Wow. Also, Rob Gronkowski is away from voluntary work. And Belichick says he's not going to talk about that. Belichick said he won't talk about Brady. He says, I'm not talking about people that aren't here. Won't talk about Brady, won't talk about Gronk. Talk about the guys that are here. Don't you think that's dumb?
Yeah, well, and he also, I think, continued stating that talking about the guys that are here and continuing to develop or some comment about that they were in trying to improve their game, and it almost seemed like it was a dig against the guys that are not there, that since they're not there, they're not putting their best effort to try to improve their game.
Mm-hmm. So he's that's another sign of the strain.
Yeah, so I'm
that's
telling
going
you, there's a
little strain.
What should he say? Should he say any different because of who it is that's out? I mean, you know, if you actually say that you're going to treat every player the same and all that kind of stuff, then he's saying the right thing, right?
No. I think if you're the head coach of the Patriots, you have to be willing to take questions about Tom Brady.
You do.
It's Tom Brady.
It's Tom Brady. It's quarterback. It's quarterback league. You have to be prepared for.
I mean, he doesn't have to. I get that. He can say what he wants.
Yeah,
he can be the jerk that he is, but.
Let's say he's not exactly chatty, so yeah. It's not unusual.
Yeah, it's not unusual. Not surprised by it, but don't love it. I mean, you know, it's okay to ask a question about Tom Brady. He is somewhat significant for the Patriots. Last break. We'll come back and wrap it up here in the Huddle next on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Final segment here, about 5 minutes to go. Another keyword coming up in just about 4 minutes to give you a chance to win $1,000. We have the NBA's all-rookie team. We don't have rookie of the year yet. That vote not done yet. But the all-rookie team out today. Ben Simmons of Philadelphia and Donovan Mitchell of Utah are unanimous selections. They received 100 first-place votes from sports writers and broadcasters. Both teams went to the second round of the playoffs. Jason Tatum was selected to the first team. He fell one short vote of unanimous. Who would not vote Jason Tatum to the all-rookie team? Was that you, Richmond?
I think Jason Tatum is actually one of the biggest surprises of the NBA season.
Really?
I don't think people would have thought he would have had the year that he did. Third overall, especially when you're looking in relation to Markelle Fultz being the number one pick.
Yeah, but Tatum's better.
Yes, Tatum is much
better. No question. Yeah, Brad Stevens said somebody made a mistake when they didn't vote for him. Because some person on the panel did not vote for Jason Tatum among the top five.
See, I don't know
rookies.
How their voting works. Is it that they didn't vote for him or they didn't vote for him as...
Top five. You got to be voted. I guess, I don't know, you probably get five votes. All rookie team, first. You vote for five people, right? I don't know what they did. But he was not unanimous, and Simmons and Mitchell were. Simmons, Mitchell, and Tatum are the three finalists for Rookie of the Year. The other guys on the first team, besides those three, Kyle Kuzma of the Lakers, and Chicago's Lauri Markkanen. Is that how you pronounce it? Markkanen? First team. Second team, all rookies, Dennis Smith, Dallas, Lonzo Ball of the Lakers.
I was wondering if he was going to make it on one of the teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had...
All things considered, he didn't do too bad. He was injured for part of the season, too.
Right. Atlanta forward John Collins. Anybody pay attention to John Collins of the Hawks this year?
No, because the Hawks were so bad. But John Collins is a good good ball player.
Yeah. Bogdanovich of Sacramento, and Josh Jackson, the forward for the Phoenix Suns, were the second team players. And then we'll get the Rookie of the Year award coming up. And I guess it'll be Simmons, right? Still think it'll be Simmons, not Mitchell, for Rookie of the Year?
I think the NBA is going to get it right.
And vote for Mitchell?
Yes.
Richmond doesn't agree with that.
Depends on how much that they wait on the playoffs.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a regular season award, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know how it can be.
It's also supposed to be an award for rookies, which Ben Simmons is not.
Ooh! Burn.
Hey, I see that point.
I'm trying to figure out how he made it on the all-rookie team when he's not a rookie.
All right, real quickly before we get out of here, Golden State go up 3-1 tonight?
Yes.
They overcome the pressure?
They do.
That is on them?
They somehow are able to withstand the pressure that's upon them to beat the Rockets at home.